Blog Talk Radio.
We must move from jiggle to drum, and many of us will die. Not to be afraid, because it's prophecy. But the Lord is looking for 144,000 strong men that can lead this charge. That's what you hear, sir. Read.
And has revealed them unto babe.
He revealed it unto babe. He's going to reveal the knowledge to you guys. You got some young men that are willing to stand up against all odds. You young men. That's where the Most High is revealing. And see, we have to tear Satan's kingdom down. We have to tear down the Christian doctrine. We believe in Christ, but not the Christ they teach. Matthew 24:2. Any common sense thinking Christian would know that Christianity is not the truth. Based on that scripture alone, Christians have been everywhere. They've been through the four corners of the earth, and the end is not yet. That's common sense. That's common sense. Think about it. Christ said, when this gospel of the kingdom is taught throughout the four corners of the earth, he's talking about the doctrine that he was teaching before it was tainted. Then the end shall come. The doctrine you see now is the doctrine that must go throughout the four corners before the end comes. So now the Most High sent us at the end to set the record straight, to come out, even clean our lives like Christ, and tear down the Christian doctrine. So Satan has hijacked our truth and put up his. Satan is his Kabbalah, his Babylonian worshipers and all black, which are wizards, to be the chosen people of the Most High. We are called. How can you have them represent us? How dare them represent the children of Israel with their wicked selves? We grumble in the ninth chapter.
Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit.
Hold up. Paul says he said the truth in Christ, he lie not. Read on.
Verse 4.
Come on.
Who are Israelites?
Who are what?
Who are Israelites?
Paul was praying for Israelites. Why? Because the world cannot get back in order until Israel is back in order. That's why. He was praying for Israel. The reason he went to the Gentiles is because he was trying to go to the Israelites, and the Israelites kept rejecting him and kept pushing him off. So he started saying, listen, I'm going to go to the Gentiles and let them know that they can come in. Then maybe we can provoke our own people to jealousy, and they'll come and take their rightful place as God's people. So it still gets back to convincing God's people. Because 144,000 is a physical lineage. And if these 144,000 don't come back, we'll never rule again. So Satan came in the earth and said, you know what? We're going to distort who God's people are so they cannot identify the 144,000. And my government will rule. Read.
So who pertains to the adoption?
Hold on. Pertains to the adoption. The adoption is Christ's blood. That's the adoption. Read.
And the glory.
The glory and the what?
And the covenant.
That's the old and new covenant. Read.
And the giving of the law.
The giving of the law. The law was only given to the children of Israel so that we can teach the earth. Okay, the Jewish people have the law and look at the earth. Only Israelites can stand as the servants of the Most High to teach the earth. The teachers of this earth that will get marked in the last days to stand up and help correct this earth. Let's tell the truth here. Go to Ezekiel 9. Read it.
Ezekiel 9:4. And the Lord said unto him, go from the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, that sigh, and that cry, for all the abominations.
So we must go through the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is God's people. So we have to go amongst Israel and find the men that sigh and that cry, that are upset with what's going on. We go unto the brothers and sisters of the poor that understand that something is wrong, that cry and that cry against all the abominations that be done thereof, that's going to stand in the last day.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. This is Warriors in Christ. This is Brother Yawanathan. We'll be joined shortly by Brother Dwayne. That was the voice of Elder Ricard from the Gathering of Christ Church, letting the people know that it's time to wake up and start following the Bible, start following the laws, statutes, and commandments of the Most High. I want to say, Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya, Barak Atham, all praise to the Most High in the name of Christ and the Holy Spirit we walk. Today we're going to be getting into the speaking of tongues according to the Bible. Brother Dwayne, are you there? One moment. Brother Dwayne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I can hear you coming in. Shalom, brother.
Yeah, shalom. I'd like to say all praise to the Most High in the name of Yeshaya. Tonight's show, like the brother said, is going to be speaking in tongues according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, to the Holy Scriptures, not according to what man say or according to the way these people proclaim it to be, with just jumping up and down and speaking gibberish inside these churches. What we're going to do, we're going to go in the scriptures and we're going to find out exactly what speaking in tongues is according to the scriptures. Okay, Brother Youngton, you got anything to say?
I'd like to say, as usual, at the start and the finish of each show, the work never stops until the casket drops. And once again, all praise to Ahaya for him to set up the platform for us to be able to bring the truth forward to everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike.
Jews and Gentiles alike. Before we go in, play that song, Screaming to a Higher, for me.
All right.
Prepare the people, let them, you know, get an understanding that brothers is putting in the work, proclaiming the Father's name.
All right. Screaming out the Higher, coming right now.
Hebrew, yeah.
GreatBeatsNow.com.
Yeah, I said, I'm a Hebrew with a queen, hell trials full of king. Screaming out of higher, I'm on fire, I'm a fiend. Meaning for the law, so my spirit stay clean. I'm a fire, come to slaughter every sinner on the scene. A known living sacrifice, blood on the sword of the Lord, no blemish. The Son died, baptized, renewed my spirit. The word revealed the truth, eyes open, I hear it. The way that he spoke, that I live it, I feel it. Treat the law like a banana, I feel it. Teach everyone and you unclean spirits. And Satan hating, said he can't feel his fulfillment. One job, one to the one, pass from the commandments until he finished it. No losing, we winning it. The heavenly realm is what we want to be living in. Esau is the ending, Jacob is the beginning. A higher saw your son, the Holy Spirit, a monument. And seven sinners subdue evil and rip it. And 16 bars, let them know I killed it. So duty of man is to keep the law solely. 6 days shall that work, remember to keep the Sabbath holy. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would literally lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would literally lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Get 'em. They say I was born to be a hustler, born to chase a dream, born to bang the street, born to be a fiend, born to rob, steal, kill, lie, and scheme. But a higher said that I was born to be a king. So I take my rightful place off the church, waking up my fan fans like we all late for work. Cause they sleep right now, prophecy and a curse, worshiping other gods and doing the devil's work. But I'm screaming out a higher, you are all that we desire. Give us zeal like Matthias, all the eagles that is highest.
sign for the Messiah. Okay. Following your heart is wicked according to Jeremiah. See, there's no more time for games. We got the time alive, it's more time for change. Scratch out these pastors, get rid of them lanes. Cause you dive into the scriptures and you see that things change. See me, I'm from the tribe of Judah. Yes, part of the prophecy and part of Jacob's future. A higher, it's not the author of confusion. It's only two sides and now it's time for you to choose one. Screaming out a higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster, roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother, brother, brother. Screaming out a higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster, roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother, brother, brother. Screaming out a higher,
I'll be screaming out a higher.
Screaming out a higher,
I'll be screaming out a higher.
Screaming out a higher,
I'll be screaming out a higher.
Yeah. Get him.
On that. That was nice. Now, who was that, brother?
I didn't even look at that. I'll give it to you, let you know who that was. I'll let you know. I wasn't even paying attention to who it was. I just, you know.
Okay.
But they were screaming out of higher, and we screaming out of higher. That's what's happening.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Shout out to GOC, Florida. GOC Texas, GOC North Carolina, GOC Haiti, GOC Vegas, GOC all the elders, all the people laying down their life in truth, all the brothers and sisters. So we're going to go straight in, speaking in tongues according to the scriptures, according to the Bible. Let's go, Brother Jonathan. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 23, we're going to start at verse 2 real fast. Show the people that speaking in tongues is not the gibberish they be speaking, because nobody understand what they be saying. The scripture is going to clearly show us that it has to be a language that we understand. If it's not understood, that means they're not speaking in tongues, because speaking in tongues, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking more than one language. If you just speak English, you speak one tongue, just one tongue. If you speak more than one language, you speak in tongues.
That was 2 Samuel, what, brother?
23:2. So if you speak English and Spanish, you speak in tongues. You speak Creole and English, you speak in tongues. It's not just going in the church and saying you whatever and you the spirit of the Most High on you. That's a lie. You ready, brother? Read.
I'm not. 2 Samuel chapter 22.
Chapter 23, verse 2.
The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue.
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. You read that again.
The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue.
His word was in David's tongue. King David used to sing in front of the Most High. The book of Psalms is basically written by King David. Because the Father put the Spirit in his tongue. read verse 1 on down for me, so we can get an understanding.
2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue."
Now, his word was in it. Stop right there. Now, his word was in his tongue. Now, when you read the scriptures and you read the Psalms, those was the word. That was the Spirit on David's tongue. So, can't you understand that? Don't you understand when you read Psalms? Is that some type of utterly out the way ridiculous stuff you can't read or some stuff you can't understand?
Psalms has much clarity.
Much clarity because originally it was in the ancient Hebrew. The ancient Hebrew. Then King James, the Spirit was put on King James for him to put it in English. For him to put it in English. Now, read that again. Read 1 on down to 2 for me.
Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue."
See that? His word was in his tongue. His word was in his tongue. Now, let's go to Isaiah 28, verse 11. Because, like I said, the Father put the Spirit on King David. Not King David, on King James. I'm starting on King James. So, in the last days, we could be able to speak. We could be able to understand the Bible and speak the language that's in the land today. It was in ancient Hebrew for us to understand the Bible. It had to be converted. It had to be changed over to English. Read verse 11 for me.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people."
Okay. Now, let's go on the scrolls and look at that word tongue. Because read it again for me.
"For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people."
Oh, stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Like I said before, the Most High knew his people was going into slavery. He knew English was going to be the dominant language in the earth in the last days. So in order for his people to be able to come back to him, the Bible had to be converted into a language what they would be speaking in. If it was still Hebrew, we couldn't come back to the Father. By being in English, now we could come back to the Father. And this scripture is verifying what I just said, because the Most High said, with a stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to his people. Because the original language the Hebrews spoke was ancient Hebrew. Can we, you went inside of, it's H3956 inside the scrolls.
Right, I got it. Hebrews 3956. Okay, if you don't have eSWORD on your computer or a Strong's Concordance book, you can download an app called My Bible Sword. It's the same thing, and it's basically a Strong's Concordance via your Android phone or iPhone with that application to get the understanding in the ancient Hebrew. It says,
Right. One second before you go on. The reason we need to go back to the Strong is because it goes back to the the origin of the word. It goes to the origin of the word. And right here is going to show us that in Hebrew, the origin of the word tongue, which like we're saying, why the study today is speaking in tongues according to the Bible, but inside the Christian churches, they be speaking gibberish. They be saying utterly nothing. Actually, we call it gibberish. It's actually Satan's language because nobody understand it. So evidently, they move by a spirit. So with that being said, we go in the Strong's, we go to a concordance to go find the origin of the word. Now, let's find out the origin of the word tongue. First, read that scripture. Read that scripture again, and then go straight in with the Strong's.
Okay, Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Okay, I'm in the Strong's, and it's Hebrew H3956. The definition where the word is pronounced, Lashon, in the ancient Hebrew, tongue would be Lashon. Definition, tongue of men, tongue, literal, tongue, organ of speech. It says here, language, tongue of animals, tongue of fire.
Okay, what we want, we want to focus on letting the people see that tongue do relate to language. Tongue do relate to organ of speech. It's a language. It's an organ of speech. So give them the name again of how to pronounce it. Give them the name how to pronounce it in that number again.
Okay, it's the Hebrew H3956. In Hebrew, it's pronounced Lashon, Lashon. That's the Hebrew pronunciation of the word tongue. Lashon, and it says here, tongue of men. Basically, it says language, tongue of speech, you know, tongue of fire, tongue of animals.
Right, language. So now, that's getting more clarity and more understanding that inside the churches, they're not speaking correct tongues. They're speaking madness, gibberish. You have to be, so it has to be understood by somebody. It has to be understood by somebody. Let's go to Acts 22:2. Let's go to Acts 22:2 so we'll keep moving on and we can get an understanding of the word tongues. That is, it lines right up with the word language. If you speak more than one language, you speak in tongues. If you speak only one language, you only speak in one form of tongue. It may be English, it may be Spanish, it may be French, Creole. Whatever. If you only speak one, it will only be one form of tongue, whatever that language is you speak. But if you speak multiple languages, you speak in tongues. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Read.
Acts 22, verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day.
Hold on right now. This is Paul right now when he went back to speak to the Israelites. Now start at the top again. Start at 2. Just read 2. And then jump and read 1 so they could get an understanding. But I wanted them to see that he's speaking in a Hebrew tongue. That means he's speaking in the Hebrew language. Read it again.
Acts chapter 22, verse 2. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them.
Hold on. When they heard he spoke in a Hebrew tongue to them, what did they do?
They kept the more silence.
They kept them more silent because it shocked them that he spoke their language. Because Paul was an Israelite himself. He just was raised in Tarsus. He just was raised somewhere else because a lot of Israel was spread abroad. He was raised in not too far from Rome. Read 1 on down through 2.
Acts chapter 22, verse 1. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man. Keep going on that.
Okay. Stop right there. Now, jump over to Romans 11 and 1 real fast where we can see where Paul was from. What nation Paul was from. But the Israelites were shocked that he was speaking Hebrew. They didn't know he could speak Hebrew. But Paul was an Israelite. How we know? We're going to show you. Romans 11, verse 1. But it's showing you right here, when he spoke in the Hebrew tongue, they was quiet. They were shocked. So they listened to him.
Okay. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
Read that again.
I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
So they're showing you that not only did Paul speak multiple languages, he was an Israelite. So for the churches to be teaching the people that they're Gentiles, that's wrong. They teach people they're Gentiles because number one, they think Paul was a Gentile. Paul was an Israelite. And right here, he's telling the people in Rome that this letter to the Romans, to the church in Rome, to his fellow people and to the Romans, that he is an Israelite. Paul's telling me he's an Israelite. And then when we read in Acts 22:1-2, he's speaking to the Israelites when he went back to Jerusalem to speak to the Israelites. And when he spoke to them in their language, first he was speaking, they didn't want to hear him, but when he spoke in their language, they got quiet to listen to him. So what we do, Let's see who else spoke in Hebrew. Let's go to Mark 16, verse 17. Because right now we're getting a clear understanding that tongues is not just saying something inside of a church. Well, you saying the Father don't put the Spirit on your tongue for you to say anything, or to be saying nothing. Nothing that's understood. Because the first scripture we read was David saying that the Father put the Spirit on his tongue. Am I correct, brother? Is that the first scripture we read?
That is correct, brother. That is correct.
So evidently, if the Father put the Spirit on King David's tongue, and most of the scripture, most of the Psalms, the book of Psalms you read is David's work. Evidently, it had to be a language we could understand.
Mark 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
Hold on. Start back at the top because he said cast out in my name. So evidently, Brother Jonathan, who is this speaking?
This is Yeshua, Christ, the Messiah.
This is Christ the Messiah. This is the anointed one speaking. This is a higher son sent than the earth. This is who's speaking. Read that again.
Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues.
They shall speak with new tongues. Right here he's speaking on the disciples. When the Spirit come on them, they will be able to cast out demons. They'll be able to speak in different tongues. We're going to go in that story. That's Acts 2 and 1. But what we're going to do now, we're going to go in the East Ward. We're going to go in the East Ward, Moss Ward, Strong Concordance, and we're going to look up tongues right here. We're going to look up tongues right here, and we're going to see what it says.
All right. Let me get that, brother. Mark 17. Mark 16, verse 17. Okay, one second.
Okay, no problem. We're going to go in here, we're going to see.
Okay, I got it, brother. So, tongues here is G, as in Greek, 1100. Greek 1100 or Greek 1100. The pronunciation of the word is glossa. Yeah, glossa. It says here, the definition, the tongue, a member of the body, an organ of speech, a tongue. The language or dialect used by a particular people, distinct from that of other nations.
Okay. Now, glossa. Glossa. Glossary. Doesn't that sound familiar? Glossa. Glossary. Because this is where the word glossary originates from. It is a Greek word. So this is glossa, which is tongue. Glossa. So when you're looking at your glossary, you're actually looking at definition one. It says the organ of speech, because glossary is a whole bunch of words that's pertaining to our speech. Am I right?
Right, that's correct.
And definition two, the language or dialect used by a particular people. So when we're looking in a glossary, we're looking at G1100 in the Greek, glossa, definition two, tongue, A, the language or dialect used by a particular people. So right here we see it's clearly, go all the way down and read at the bottom where it says Strong's for me, brother.
Here it says at the bottom here, Strong's, of uncertain affinity, the tongue, by implication, a language, specifically.
Oh. Hold on. The tongue, read that. I'm going to read the tongue, and you read right after that. The tongue.
By implication, a language.
Start right there.
Okay.
Is that just saying anything, brother?
No, it's clearly saying the tongue.
So we can just stop right now. We ain't much got to go in no more. But we're going to keep going, brothers and sisters. But it's just
really
showing you how clear it is already.
Right, right.
Read the whole thing for me, brother.
You want me to read the whole definition again, brother?
Starting at Strong's, at the bottom, all the way to the bottom.
Okay. Strong's, of uncertain affinity, the tongue, by implication, a language, specifically one natural, unacquired tongue. So
basically, unacquired. What you finna say, brother?
I was about to say what I'm reading here. The word tongue and language are synonymous. They the same. They have the same understanding both ways. They're interchangeable. Tongue and language. According to the Strongs, they are synonymous. The words mean the same thing, tongue and language. Language is tongue. Tongue means difference of languages. When you go into different tongues, or the speaking of tongues, like the brother said earlier, if you speak one language, you speak in one tongue. If you speak many languages, you speak in many tongues.
Exactly. While we go to Acts 2 and 1, but I'm going to read this scripture, and it's going to lead right into the scripture. It's going to lead right into the scripture you're going to read. Go to Acts 2, verse 1, and I'm going to read Mark 16 through. I'm going to read Mark 6. I'm going to read Mark chapter 16. Verse 16 through 17, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is Christ speaking. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So that's going to lead straight up into what we're going to read now. Read Acts 2, verse 1, brother.
Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were
Hold on right there. While we're already dealing with this Christianity, tearing down these walls of Christianity, read that one more again and show the brothers and sisters that Pentecost is not a church denomination. Pentecost is a holy day.
Right. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all.
Hold on one second. They're showing you clearly that the walls in Christianity are crumbling. Because we're dealing with tongues. Now we done read about one of these so-called denominations, which is actually a holy day. So, the word Pentecostal is not no denomination. It's a holy day. Read, brother.
Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Well, read that part again. Why they was confounded?
Because that every man heard them speak in his own language.
Heard him speak in his own language. Each this apostle was able to go up to each and every man residing in Jerusalem at that time. At that time, it was many different nationalities in there. And they was able to speak to each man in his own language. Read, brother.
Verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Let me read that again, verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Corinthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, and Phrygia, and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God.
Hold on right there. The wonderful works of God. This is showing you all these different languages they was able to speak. Brother, what I need you to do is go back to verse 6 and go to the word language, the last word in verse 6, and let's go in Strong Concordance. So in Strong Concordance, if you have the East War or the Mass War, please go to the word language, which is G1258.
Two and six. One moment. Okay,
Language is clearly being seen that language, tongue, like the brother said, is synonymous. Now we're going to see what the brother had to say language is.
Okay, language. The Greek number is Greek, or G1258. The pronunciation is dialectos, dialectos. It says here, conversation. Definition one, conversation, speech. Language. Definition two, the tongue or language particular to any people.
Go all the way down to the bottom where it says Strong's.
Okay, at the bottom, Strong's form G1256, a mode of discourse that is dialect, language, tongue.
Translation, dialectos, a dialect at the bottom. Dialect, one, a conversation, speech, discourse, language. Two, the tongue or language particular to any people. So it's clearly understood. This is utterly sad and very disturbing that we do not do any research on our own. It's very sad that now I'm in the truth that I once used to believe that these people, even though I never claimed to speak in tongues, but I would listen to the people and they would be saying it's Ramadama or whatever, and they truly said they was moved by the Spirit. Me, I just looked at them and said, I guess they moved by the Spirit. But now I had an understanding and could see what's going on. It's utterly upsetting to me to see that our people are wrapped up in that madness. And that really gives me the push to fight against Satan. Give me the push to try to get our people back to the understanding of who we really is, to come back to the Most High. So we could see that the understanding that we had is no understanding. It's very base. It's at the bottom. So when we come into the truth, the understanding we have and the wisdom and the knowledge that the Father bestows on us is priceless. When we look at Christianity today, Islam, Buddhism, or whatever it is, when we look at it, we could see that it's ran by Satan, and it's very base, the understanding. So this what gives us the push, the drive, to try to bring our brothers and sisters back to the Father, because it's for the love we have and not want to see our brothers and sisters walking like zombies.
Right. Amen, brother.
Okay, what we could do, keep going. Let's go to 12.
Acts 2, verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose. And it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Okay. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. That's a prophecy that Joel, in the book of Joel, had spoken of. And this is right here where it's being fulfilled. It's showing where it's been fulfilled. What we're going to do, let's read Acts 1, verse 5. We're going to read Acts 1, verse 5, because we have many scriptures to tear down these lies, to show the people that speaking in tongues is speaking in another language. When you speak in tongues, you speak more than one language. If you speak one tongue, you only speak one language. And what we're doing is just reading the Bible. That's all we're doing. Let's go, brother.
You said Acts 1, verse 5?
Yes, Acts 1, verse 5.
Okay, it says,
yeah, right now, me and the brother, we speak in Hebrew. Ark means brother.
Oh, yeah. Ark means brother in the ancient Hebrew, yes.
Ancient Hebrew. All right.
Okay, it says here, Acts 1, verse 5. This is Christ speaking. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence.
Now, right here is Christ. This is when Christ was telling the story we just read about them being baptized with the Spirit, that they was able to speak with different tongues. That's when Christ had already told them that they'll be baptized. All I did was go back to show you that Christ had already foretold them that that would happen. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. Now, when you get a chance, I need you to make sure you have your strong concordance on deck, your east ward on deck, well, your north ward, and you go in front of your pastor with your concordance, and you go to this pastor, and you ask your pastor what is speaking in tongues. But you already know what is speaking in tongues from listening to the voice in Christ. Or listening, you done linked in, you done seen gathering the Christ, or you done seen somebody who done brought some form of truth. But what you do, you take your concordance with you, and you go in front of this your pastor, and you ask the pastor, what is speaking in tongues according to the scriptures, according to the Bible? And just listen to what he got to say. If he's not saying that he's speaking a language, he's not being honest with you. Read it for me, brother.
That was 2 Kings 18, verse. What was the verse? 18 or what? Would you say 17? Dwayne. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, it was 2 Kings 18, verse what?
26.
All right. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah and Shibna. Let me start over on that. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah and Shibna and Joah unto Rab Shaki, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall.
See, right there, it's showing you that this Assyrian came to speak to the Israelites. They came to speak to the Israelites speaking in Assyrian language. No, he was Assyrian speaking in Hebrew, and they told him, listen, we understand we understand your language. You don't have to speak our language. Read that again.
Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Reb Shekah, speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall.
Exactly. So they're showing you that language is tongue. He came, he's speaking to them in their tongue, in their language. He came speaking to them in Hebrew. But they felt he didn't have to do that. Speak to us in your language. We understand. We understand what you got to say. Go to Ezra 4, chapter 4. All
right. Ezra 4. One moment to get that.
4 and 7. And like I was saying before, before I interrupted, speak to your pastor with your concordance and ask him, what is speaking in tongues according to the scriptures, according to the Bible? And if he's not giving you an answer, well, speaking in tongues is more than one language that's understood by the people on earth, whether it's Spanish, English, Creole, he's lying. Point blank, he's lying. You have your concordance. You see that speaking in tongues have to be understood. It has to be a language that's in the earth that's understood. Now, if it's this Rosh Hashanah or whatever, and it's not understood by nobody, they're speaking gibberish. And ask yourself, who's the author of confusion? Ask yourself, who can understand that? Ask yourself, who's leading those people's spirits? You have to come to the truth. When you come to the truth of how to understand the thing, you have to back away from the thing that's not right. Because anything that's not right, 9 times out of 10, Satan is at the head of it. Now, we didn't have this understanding all the time, but when we come to the understanding, we have to back away from doing wrong and start going towards doing right. And what's right at the time is understanding that when you speak in tongues, you speak more than one language that's understood in the earth. It's not saying anything in front of people and expecting them to understand you and then saying the Father Spirit is leading you, because the first scripture we read clearly proves that the Father Spirit is not leading somebody just to say utterly nothing. The Father Spirit is leading people with understanding.
Utterance.
Read, bro.
Okay, Ezra chapter 4, verse 7. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue.
See that? In the Assyrian tongue, in the Assyrian language. In the Assyrian language. Go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Just start at 1 and read verse 4. Because actually, it's so many scriptures. The whole Bible is just clarifying that the word tongue and the word language mean the same thing. There's so many scriptures we could go on and on. But what we're going to do, we're going to give you many scriptures to show you. We're going to give you many precepts to back up this understanding. These are not no claims. This is an understanding. Through the scriptures we done went through already and edified and clarified and then corrected the Christian churches. There's nothing they could say to the people who's listening, who done wrote down these scriptures and read the scriptures yourself or even heard what we've read. It's understandable already. Read, brother.
Daniel 1, verse 4. Children, in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans.
In the tongue of the Chaldeans. What's going on here? That the church start? Did you start all the way at 1 and 1?
Oh, that was, you wanted me to start at 1, brother?
Yeah, if we start at 1, if we could get a full understanding, because what's going on right here, this is the beginning of the story of Shadrach, Abednego, and Meshach. What would Shadrach, Abednego, and also Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar took down, this is when Nebuchadnezzar took down Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon for slavery. This is the beginning of their 70-year slavery run, when it was in slavery. But this is when Shadrach and Abednego, their names was changed. And it's going to sound very familiar that they was taught an understanding in the land that they wasn't from. Read that 1 and 1 for me.
Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third
Daniel.
Year of the reign.
I'm sorry, but that's who it is. Daniel, his name was changed, and it was. I don't have the Bible in front of me, but when you read the scripture, it's going to be sound very familiar that they was taken from their land and they was re-educated in another land. This is going to sound very familiar. Read.
Daniel 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, unto his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans.
Okay, right here, that's showing you the same way they took us across the water, brought us over here, and taught us all this American history. They just teach us American history. They don't teach us world history. The world history is so watered down. They don't give us no in-depth details of world history. But what they do give us a very clear understanding that America has warred with basically the rest of the world. And what they do, they taught us basically America, 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 America. That's why, brothers and sisters, today, when you speak about leaving the country, where are we going to go? How am I going to live? The same way you lived over here. Most of Judah is in poverty over here. So if you can survive over here, you can survive somewhere else, trust me. Anyway, it's showing you that they was taught children in whom was no blemish, but were well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue and the speech and the language of the Chaldeans. It's showing you right here. Okay. It's showing you right here that. Now, go down to 6 for me.
Daniel.
Read 6 for me.
Verse 6. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Keep going.
Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names.
Okay, this is where the children of Israel was taken out of their own land and was took to Babylon, and they were going to rename them in Babylon. They would no longer be known by their Hebrew names. They were going to be given names of the Chaldeans. Read, brother.
Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach,
mm-hmm.
and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of
Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the names of who was in the burning furnace, which a lot of people familiar with that. A lot of people were familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But this is right here showing you that they was named different names. They had their names, the Israelite names. And go back to 6 for me and read the Israelite names for me.
Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Okay, now that goes like when you were watching the movie Roots, when they're putting the whip on the guy, trying to break his spirit, hitting him, beating him, whipping him, and what's your name? Whipping him. He keeps saying his name, Kuda. In Kuda Kente. But he keep whipping him, trying to make him say his name, Toby. He finally gave in. But that's just an example showing you how they do take people from one nation. There's nothing new under the sun. They've been doing this to us for the longest. They've been doing this to Israel for the longest. They'll take us from one spot and rename us. The scriptures clearly show you these things. So, Jacob, if you come back home, the understanding will be very broad for you because the Father is waiting for you to come home so you can get this understanding. For me, Brother Jonathan, and other brothers and sisters could welcome you in with welcome arms, and we all share that light to the Gentiles because that's our job. Israel's job is to teach the Gentiles the laws and the commandments and the Father ways so all of us could have eternal life. Not just the Jews and the Gentiles, but it is an order. The Israelites have to teach the Gentiles because the Father didn't deal with the other nations. He dealt with Israel. He made a covenant with Israel, promises with Israel. So Israel was given the laws, the statutes, and the commandments, and Israel is a light to the other nations, to teach the other nations the Father's ways, his statutes, and commandments. So we all could get salvation. It's not just Israel. It's not just, they find out that Israelites are just going one way. No, it's for all of us could get salvation. But we can't get salvation being separated. We have to understand the Father have an order. The only thing we're coming to the understanding that the Father have an order. We're coming to the understanding who we really is. We've been robbed by our rich history. Now we're taking it back. What I mean, our heritage. Now we're coming back to who we is, and a lot of people don't like that. But it doesn't matter what you like. You either in or you out. If you in, accept the understanding, accept the teachings, accept the Father, accept his ways, accept his commandments, and we all could have eternal life. So go to Acts 7, verse 22 for me.
All right.
I'm going to reiterate again why he's going to Gentiles and Jews alike can have eternal salvation. We don't teach against other nations. We don't teach no hate against other nations. We're uplifting our people for to bring our people out of darkness, for our people to in turn take that light they were given and give it to the Gentiles, because that's their job. Their job is to be a light to the Gentiles. And you Gentiles who believe in Christ, who want to make it to the kingdom, understand that the Father did have a people, choose a people in the earth and have a covenant with the people. They've been on the bottom for the longest. Now it's their turn to rise to the top. If you in Christ and you love the Father, you shouldn't have no problem with that, because when you was on the top for the longest, we was on the bottom. Now it would be overturned. It shouldn't be no problem. If you love the Father and if you love Christ, it shouldn't be no problem, because you teach us that Christ is just spirit. So if Christ is just spirit the way you see it, if we had that understanding and we took on that understanding that you gave us, it doesn't matter what color Christ is, which you really do. But if you want us to be blind and say, well, you're right, it doesn't matter, I love him anyway, you're just spirit, you should accept it the same way. Once you find that Christ have a people in the earth that he's upholding, the Father have a people in the earth that they're upholding, it shouldn't be no problem for you to look at it the same way. Acts 7, verse 22.
Acts 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds.
See that?
Yeah.
He was what? Read.
Seven, verse 22. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel.
Okay. Right here, this is Moses when he was being raised. This was after he was grown. He was 40. The reason we went to this scripture is because Moses was a Hebrew Israelite. But Moses was raised in the household of the Egyptians. So evidently Moses was able to speak in tongues. He was able to speak in more than one tongue. Read, brother.
Verse 24. Let's go back to 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this, saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where
okay.
He begot sons.
Okay, what it's showing you right here is showing you that Moses was able to speak to his people as well as the Egyptians. So that means he spoke in tongues. He spoke more than one tongue. He was raised up in a house of the Egyptians. But like you say, the scriptures say, one day in his heart he wanted to go out and have compassion on his people. He also killed the Egyptian. And then he tried to speak to one of his brothers, and he pushed them off. But what I'm showing you is that Moses spoke in tongues. He spoke more than one language. He spoke more than one language. So let's get us a break real quick. Is anybody in the queue?
I don't think so, brother. One moment. Nah, just me and you, brother.
How much time we got left?
We got 48 minutes.
Okay, we got 48 minutes. And we basically don't want... What we're going to do, let's keep going. Let's go to Exodus. No, let's go to Acts 26 and 10, verse Acts 26:10-14.
Acts 26:10. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities. Verse 12. Whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightest of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Verse 14. And when we were all fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Right here is clearly showing you. Read that again, that last, read 14 again. It's clearly showing you that Christ spoke Hebrew to another individual that spoke Hebrew. This was Saul he was speaking to. This is Saul before he became Paul. And remember, we read in Acts 22:2 that Paul spoke to the Hebrew Israelites and they got quiet. Read 14.
And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
So this is Christ speaking Hebrew, because Christ was a Hebrew Israelite. So it's evidently we know the language that we supposed to be speaking. If we Hebrew Israelites, we should be speaking Hebrew. Ancient Hebrew. John 5:2.
One moment.
Okay. So we clearly understand that tongues is more than one language. Speaking one tongue is one language that's a language that's understood in the earth. That's what speaking tongues is according to the scriptures. Let no man deceive you. And we have been deceived for ages. Now it's time to get our understanding of truth.
John chapter 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sea market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches.
Okay. Go to Acts 21:40. We're going to speed it up a little bit. All these scriptures are going to show you over and over the word tongue, language is synonymous. That tongue is not speak, when you speak in tongues, you're speaking in a language that's clearly understood in the earth. Acts 21, verse 40. So, brothers and sisters, I hope we've been a great deal to help. Helping you with the understanding of what tongues is. We're going to give you plenty more scriptures to go along with. So, you, like I said before, can you please go to your pastors with these scriptures, with your concordance, and you're not going there to ask them for understanding, because you should have clear, full understanding from this study. But what you want to do, you want to go inside to your pastor to for you to unmask that wolf behind the sheep's clothing. Because once you give this individual the understanding that the understanding that you understand and speaking in tongues is not what he teaching, if he don't want to sit down with you and get understanding, that means he a wolf. Let's go.
Acts 21 verse 40. And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying.
Okay, Revelation 9, verse 11. We're showing you people over and over, precept after precept. We're going to keep showing you because that's our job. And I'm so happy that we're getting this study out tonight, because this is so much clarity. This is plain. This is very plain. So you brothers and sisters should have no misunderstanding with anybody else arguing about what speaking in tongues is, because these scriptures here, if you get these scriptures here, write them down, or you can play this over and let somebody hear them. You read over them yourself. You read the scriptures yourself, and you will see that it's very clear. Let's go, brother.
Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon.
Right there, it showed you the oldest language and the second oldest language. In Hebrew and in Greek. In Hebrew and in Greek. Tongue. Language. Let's go to Revelation 16, verse 16.
Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
Go to Psalms 81, verse 5. 81, verse 5. All praise to the higher. All praise to Ahaya. All praise to Ahaya. All praise to Ahaya. I'm exalting the Father's name, because that's what we're going to do until the casket drop. All praise unto Ahaya. Read, brother.
Psalms 81, verse 5. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not.
This is showing you language is tongue. But we've been going over the word tongue. We already know it's synonymous with language. So everywhere we see language, we understand it means tongue. Psalms 114 and 1. So anywhere you see the word language in the Bible, tongue. Anywhere you see tongue in the Bible, language.
Psalms 114, verse 1. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language.
People with a strange tongue. Zephaniah 3:9.
Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
Daniel 7:14.
Daniel 7:14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed.
Okay. Genesis 10 and 5.
Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. Are these were the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their land, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations.
10:20.
Genesis chapter 10, verse 20. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries and in their nations.
10:31.
Chapter 10, verse 31. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations.
Exodus 11, verse 7. It's been a pleasure doing this show with y'all tonight. I hope y'all have a great understanding of the world tongues according to the Bible. We understand it is language. Exodus 11, verse 7.
Exodus chapter 11, verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue.
See, hold on. Right here, we're showing you that the Most High don't even want a dog, if a dog open his mouth against the children of Israel. Read that again.
But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. That ye
see that? Keep going.
But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doeth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
The Father put a difference between Israel and other nations. At the time, it was in Egypt. So the Father loved his people. And we're going to round the scripture off. We're going to round these scriptures pertaining to speaking in tongues according to the Bible with Deuteronomy 28:49 to show you that we in the land speaking a strange tongue. We're gonna end it with this scripture. We're gonna end the precepts, but we're not gonna end the show until the time is up. We're gonna end the scriptures up with this 28:14 Deuteronomy.
28:14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them.
That's 28 and 49?
Okay, you said 49. I was 14. You said 49. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
Okay.
So, yes, that was complete understanding. Was that the last scripture, brother, or was it something else that was bringing out scripture based on that? Or?
Yes, we hope we gave you great understanding tonight on this show. As in all our shows, we try to bring understanding to the people. Do you want to give any shout-outs tonight to anybody?
Man, you know what? Shout-out to the Most High. All praise to the Most High. Ahaya Bahashem Yeshaya Warawak. All praise to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Shout-out to the Gathering of Christ Church all over the earth. Florida, GOC. Texas, Vegas, Atlanta, Philadelphia, you can still brothers there, New York, UK, Haiti, all over the globe, exalting the Father's name on all four corners, understanding that until that is done, will the Father send Yeshaya to put this earth in order. So all praise to the Father.
Quam.
Yes.
Rise.
Quam.
Yes, sir. Quam Yashawala. Okay. Let's go in and let's play. Give him some music. Let's give him some music. Go, you ain't Egyptian. Let's give him a little bit of music.
Yeah, I'm feeling like that right now, brother. Let me get it on right now.
Listen, I'm a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham. I ain't no Egyptian, I ain't no Muslim, I ain't no Kabbalist, and I definitely ain't no African. Why you ball up in Islam? You ain't Arab, you're a Hebrew. Man, it's getting crazy everywhere I look. I see you, some of y'all say you Egyptian. You can't read the hieroglyphics, you don't know what they really say. That makes you religious, cause you just believe in what you heard was right. So why you mad at me for saying I'm an Israelite? When I can read the Hebrew, I can see right through you. You want your identity, but you don't wanna be who you are. You wanna shine, you wanna travel around with the philosophy and history you think you found. But all your dates are carbon dated, and we know that's all. So what's the point of all your math when your equation is wrong? Come on, you ain't Egyptian. You ain't no Muslim. Nope, you ain't no African. Come on.
Children, people, we're gonna wake up and claim it. Oh, yeah.
Israel your wife.
Question, why do you feel that way and what gave you that strange impression? You ain't never seen a sign that they care about us. If we're their people, they forgot us cause they never came and got us. Listen, we ain't the same, we don't act the same way. We don't got the same spirit, we don't do the same thing. Just because we got our skin in common, that don't mean we common. Just because you don't receive it, that don't mean you'll stop the vomit from coming. That's why I'm trying to wake you up real quick and take your mind out that reprobated state is in. You say we've been here for billions of years, but can't prove it, yet we still can't cure the common cold. Come on, man, that's stupid.
Listen, you ain't Egyptian.
Oh, oh, no,
you
you're
ain't
not.
Muslim.
Let it go, let it go.
You ain't African. Come on, get it right,
get
Roman,
it right.
Get your
right.
You ain't Egyptian.
Why you wanna be, but you're not.
You ain't Muslim.
Oh, we made this so much better.
You ain't African.
Yeah.
Come on.
You ain't no Egyptian.
Go ahead and give him pray hard while we in this music thing. Give him pray hard, then after that, let him scream out of higher. Let's scream out of higher after pray hard. Give him a couple songs back to back.
All right. Shalom. Hold on one moment.
Making sure my spirit's fed when I talk to God. higher. I said, I'm a Hebrew with a queen, hell trials full of kings. Screaming out of higher, I'm on fire, I'm a fiend. Beating for the Lord, so my spirit stay clean. I'm a fire, come to slaughter every sinner on the scene. A known living sacrifice, blood on the sword of the Lord, no blemish. Son died, baptized, renewed my spirit. The word revealed the truth, eyes open, I hear it. The way that he spoke, that I live it, I feel it. Treat the Lord like a banana, I feel it. Teach everyone and you unclean spirits. And Satan hating, said he can't feel his fulfillment. One job, one to the one, pass from the commandments. Until he finished it, no losing, we winning it. The heavenly realm is what we want to be living in. Esau is the ending, Jacob is the beginning. A higher sight, a son, the Holy Spirit, a monument. And seven sinners subdue evil and rip it. And 16 bars, let them know I killed it. So duty of man is to keep the law. Holy 6 days, shall that work? Remember to keep the Sabbath holy. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Get 'em. They say I was born to be a hustler, born to chase a dream, born to bang the street, born to be a fiend, born to rob, steal, kill, lie, and scheme. But a higher said that I was born to be a king. So I take my rightful place off the church, waking up my fan fans like we all late for work. But they sleep right now, prophecy and a curse, worshiping other gods and doing the devil's work. But I'm screaming out of higher, you are all that we desire. Give us zeal like Mathathias, now the eagles at its highest. See, it's time for the Messiah. Following your heart is wicked according to Jeremiah. See, there's no more time for games. We pass the time alive, it's more time for change. Scratch out these pastors, get rid of them blames. Cause you dive into the scriptures and you see that things change. See me, I'm from the tribe of Judah. Yes, part of the prophecy and part of Jacob's future. A higher is not the author of confusion. It's only two sides, and now it's time for you to choose one. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher, Hebrew is my theme. 12 trials is the roster. We do it like no other. I would let her lay my life down for my brother. Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Screaming out of higher,
I be screaming out of higher.
Get him.
Yeah, John. Brother Jonathan.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Yo, pull in that caller.
Sorry about that. That's me with the mute button. Here we go. I'm pulling this caller. I believe that's Brother Jackson. One moment. Warriors in Christ. Shalom, brother or sister.
Shalom, brothers. What's going on? This is Jackson.
Shalom, shalom. What's going
shalom,
on?
Shalom, Ark. Shalom, Ark.
Yeah, I was listening to you guys for a little bit, and I had to get off a quick to go push my car because it kind of got stopped. But you guys were talking about speaking in tongues. I thought that was a great lesson because and you guys bring forth the Pentecost, because a lot of people use that. It's actually a religion now. So people use that to bring forth the religion called Pentecostal. So I thought that was very important for the unlearned to understand what Pentecost is and what speaking in tongues is.
Mm.
So I was very I learned a lot tonight on your teachings. So
well, you got something you want to thought though? We got 16 minutes. What you want to do?
I have a question that's outside of the speaking of tongue, but just before I ask the question, I just want to comment on the speaking of tongue. Now, a lot of people use saying that I know I used to be in a Pentecostal church, and they say that the evidence of the Holy Spirit is the speaking in tongues. And they say that, and I said, well, what is that? And they say, well, you won't understand the language because it's a heavenly language because you don't understand it. And now I have the understanding of speaking in tongues. So when they come to me and tell me that, I say, well, which language? Which one? Because, because we know that according to Genesis, the tongues were split into 70 languages, or 70 tongues. So which one?
Right.
Right.
Hebrew, brother.
So I think you guys, man, you guys are doing an amazing job. You and Judah, Dwayne and Judah, you guys are doing an amazing job, man. You guys, every time I come to on the show, I get edified and I learn something new every time. Even though I might know some stuff, but you guys always bring scripture that I can always add to my study list. So you guys are doing an awesome job. Now, in regards to my question that has nothing to do with speaking in tongues, I just want to ask you guys this question because I was speaking about this with my brother-in-law earlier. In regards to the second coming of Christ, what would be the position of King David when he comes back? Is he going to be king over Israel, or is Christ going to be king over Israel? Because I know that in the scripture, it says that we're going to have a governing body, but what position does King David play in the governmental structure?
Christ is king, the eternal king. Christ was given eternal king. David is the king that Christ came through his bloodline. David already reigned in the earth. When Christ come, when Christ was given the kingship forever. So David already reigned, and through David, the father made a covenant with David that he would raise up Christ through David's bloodline. Yet David understand that Christ is the first spirit of a maid. David understood that.
I know that we have different Hebrews, like different things, and you know, like speaking to your mic, brother. Speaking to your mic.
Oh, not bad. I know that there are other Hebrew Israelites have different teaching out there, especially regarding the thousand year reign of Christ and the government.
Okay.
So
after the that after the 1,000-year reign, Christ, after the 1,000-year reign, Christ is going to reign in the earth for 1,000 years. And after that, Satan is going to come up against Christ. Jonathan, go to Revelation 22.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let me see if it's 22. Let me see 1 second. No, go to Revelation 20. Go to Revelation 20, and then I'm gonna get some scriptures with David, where Christ was given the kingdom forever. But we're gonna go to Revelation 20.
All right, I'm there. 20 and 1.
Just start at 1 before we get a full understanding.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, so the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5.
Okay, this is Christ. This is when they finna reign. This was Satan thrown in the bottomless pit. Now, 1,000 years. Now, let's read the 1,000-year reign. And after the 1,000 years, we're going to see what nation you're going to come up against. The place with no, the town with no walls. Read.
Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall
right,
be.
Because, hold on 1 second. Because what it means by say blessed is those of first resurrection. When Christ hit that, when Christ first hit the atmosphere, the dead in Christ gonna rise first. So that's the first what he's speaking on. So when blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, when Christ first hit the atmosphere. And these are the ones that gonna reign with him for 1,000 years. Read.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But them shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 shall, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of this, out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea. Okay.
Keep reading.
Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were
now
judged.
Now this is going to be the second resurrection. And read, they're going to be judged. Read.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay. So right there, it's showing you, we could go to, and the precept to that is actually Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38 is precept showing you that it was prophesied that God and Magog will come up against Christ and the saints after the 1,000-year reign. Go to 38, Ezekiel 38.
Okay, Ezekiel 38, one moment. Ezekiel 38, verse 1.
You can start at verse 1 and read on down. Just basically 38. All the way through 39. Read.
Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus said the Lord God.
Stop right there. Because what we like to do, we like to give people full understanding of who they're dealing with. So God, Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, what family is that? Go to Genesis 10. You can find out what family this is that the prophet speaking on. What family is this speaking on?
Genesis 10, verse 1. Now these are the generations.
Hold on. Let's go down.
Verse 2, brother.
Yeah, verse 2.
Genesis chapter 10, verse 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madea, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech. And Tyrus.
Okay, these are the sons of Japheth. So you can go back to 38. So it links right up. We understand that in Revelation 20, that these are the sons of Japheth that's going to come up in the last, after the 1,000-year reign. So we know who that is in the earth today. That would be the Chinese. That would even be the Medes, the Persians. So we understand who these people are today. The Medes and the Persians, they brothers to the Chinese, the Japanese. The Medes and the Persians, the Iranians. So go ahead and read that right now.
All right. Ezekiel 38, verse 2. That's where we at, right? Back in Ezekiel.
Right. What you could do, Jump to 8 real fast.
Okay. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. And after many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years, thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. Which
right here,
been
this is, hold on. Right here is when Christ came back in the earth. And he placed the people back in Jerusalem in safety. They in safety. So it's no sword, it's no fighting there. But this is after the 1,000-year reign when Satan gathered up Magog during, that's after the 1,000-year reign when he's loosing out the pit. Read.
Okay, after many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou, and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore,
okay, right here, hold on, because we don't have much enough time. But right here, we're gonna go read. You can read on down through here, but jump right here. I want you to jump right here to 21 and read 21 on through. See what's gonna happen. It links right up the Revelations 20. Read.
Okay, verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God, every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him, upon bands, and upon the many people that are with him, pouring rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Okay. And that still it go down. It still go down. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God and say, thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief priests of Meshach and Tubal. And I will turn thee and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee up upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out thy right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the rapacious birds of every sort, and of the beasts of the field to be devoured. And you can read all the way down on through, and it's giving you what's gonna happen. That links right up with Revelation 20, because this is the prophet. This is the word coming from the prophets already spoken, and in 20 that's when it's gonna be fulfilled.
Okay. What about Ezekiel 37 verse 24 to 25?
Right, all that's the same. All that links right up, all that go together. All of it, all the way through 40. All that goes right together is speaking on the same thing, because Ezekiel 37 is speaking about what the time period we're going through now, where we waking up we was dead spiritually, now we coming into the understanding who we is. So we when I was getting the understanding and the truth, and what it's doing is feeding our spirit and the flesh and everything coming back on us, where we are living again, we're a nation again. we're a nation again. We're coming to the understanding who we are, so we're going to grow to be a seed army. And it's going right into the destruction and everything. That's the time period we in right now. That's what it's speaking on. But 37 is starting when he first looked and see the valley of the dry bones. That's when we was dead with no understanding. But through the proper sign, our spirit, we start coming back to the Father, because the Father put the spirit of truth in the earth in the last days. But that's what 37 is speaking on. These are the times we in now. That's the beginning of the times we're in, because that's where we at. We had to come into the understanding who we is. And that's what we're doing. We pushing to everybody who we is and the true doctrine. And so that's what they're speaking on when they say, you know, open up our grave, where he told them to prophesy in the wind. And they're going to bring those dry bones back to life. And that's what the time period we're in now, the understanding we're getting.
Okay, because Ezekiel 37, verse 24 says, my David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall be shepherds.
Right, because Christ is the son of David. Christ is the son of David. So who did the Father love? Which king out of all kings did the Father made a covenant with? He made the covenant with David and told David that he would raise Christ. He made a covenant with him. Hold on. He told him, I'm gonna go in Psalms and get the covenant he made with David. Hold on. It's in Acts 2, it's in Acts 4. It's in Acts 4, and it's one of the Psalms.
I think it's Acts 2, verse 29.
Read it.
I'll read it for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll read it for me.
Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 28 to 30. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy content, countenance, and brethren. Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, is of Christ.
Exactly.
Say it again?
So through the fruit of his loins, he's going to raise up Christ through his bloodline.
Right.
Because David was the king of old. But life doesn't stop once David dies. The king, if they still reproduce, they still reproduce. So he brought in the first begotten in through David's bloodline.
That's 100% correct.
And what I'm
thanks for the understanding, brother. That was very clear.
Right, and right here, go to Psalms 132.
Psalms
132. You can start at verse. Read one. Read it on down.
So Psalms 132, verse 1.
Read the whole scripture.
Okay. Psalms 132, verse 1. A song of degrees. The Most High remembered David in all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty power of Jacob, surely I would not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go into my bed. I would not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I found out a place for the Most High in habitation for the mighty power of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it. Ephrata, we found it in the field of the word of the wood. We will go into the his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Most High, thy power, into thy rest, thou the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away thy face of thy anointed. The Most High hath sworn in his truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon that throne forevermore. For the Most High have chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp of my own anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. Upon himself shall his crown flourish. That was a good precept.
See, that is David is the father. Christ comes through the loins. And the father made a covenant with David that he was going to raise up a savior through his loins
and
to preserve the kingdom forevermore. If Christ was given the kingdom, he so come through Israel, he the father, remember that the only reason he didn't rent the whole kingdom, he didn't tell Israel all the way down, rent them all the way from Judah, was because of David. Because remember, because of his son Solomon, when he sent, the kingdom was rent in half. But he told him for only reason for David's sake, Judah, he will not rent Judah from kingship. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that one.
Right. And also he told King Solomon, because of David, he not going to rent the kingdom for him while he living. So
wow, that's powerful.
Right. So the kingdom got, after Solomon sinned, dealing with different women, who had him to sacrifice to strange gods, because we already understand it wasn't because he dealt with different women, with many women. It was because he dealt with strange women that had him to serve other gods. So that's why the Most High was very mad at him. And remember, the Most High came to him twice and asked him to stop twice. He rent the kingdom from him, but he told him he would not do it while he living. It's only because of David's sake.
I was wondering too, right? Yep, that's correct. I'm glad that you brought that forth, because, you know, you have different Hebrew Israelites teaching about King David going to come back. And that also falls into the, what you call it, reincarnation too.
Oh, yeah. They it also go with the star. Everything David, they take King David, and it's another thing they say with King David, they get Jerusalem all misconstrued because they'll say the city of David. A lot of them teach the city of David is opposite from Jerusalem. You're right. With David himself, a lot of those Israelite groups, they just put a whole new spin on things. You're right.
Yep.
I'm happy you brought that out tonight. I'm happy you brought that out tonight, brother.
Hey, listen, I'm just being edified by you, man.
No, we've been edified together. I appreciate it. I appreciate the call in, man. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening.
Anytime, brother. You know how we're one love, one body, one baptism, one Most High, one King.
Most definitely.
Right.
So I'll just be 100% in a queue.
Looks like we finna be finished. But like I said again, Jackson, we appreciate your call. We appreciate you going through the scripture with us, and we appreciate your questions, your listening. We appreciate everything about you, brother. You're a strong brother. And much love to you. Oh yeah, and get your wife ready because we're looking for two females to run the show one night. We're looking for two females to run the show one night.
Hallelujah. Praise the Most High, man.
Most definitely.
Man, I've been praying for this, man.
Hey, you know the Most High hear you.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
So we know from y'all end that, you know, you get her ready, you sharpening the sword, you got your tool and you got your stone sharpening it up over there, getting her right. But we gotta find another sister that's willing to get on with her. So that's what we searching for.
Okay. Absolutely.
Most definitely.
Well, again, brothers, man, it's been a pleasure. I've been edified. I'm going to go to sleep tonight happy because you guys are doing the work, and we're all part of the body. And then we'll see Zion together.
Most definitely.
Once again, this was Warriors in Christ reminding you that the work never stops until casket drops. That was Brother Jackson going through some precepts, clarifying scriptures on the understanding that was just brought forth. I'm Brother Yawanathan, along with Brother Dwayne. Shalom. The work never stops until the casket drops. We're actually going to play instrumental from the Brother Jackson signing out, and you know, until the next episode, we will meet in Zion if it be the Lord's will. All praise to the Father, Ahaya Ashah, Ahaya. This is Lean to the Left by Brother Jackson, instrumental. Shalom.